Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hey, great to be with you on a Monday night, man. We got a lot to do here. We don't get very many opportunities to just sit back and talk sports for a couple of hours during the baseball season, but tonight's an off night for the Cardinals. You got the three-game series against Milwaukee starting tomorrow. We'll preview that a little bit later on in the show. Next hour, we'll preview that a bit. My friend Doug Russell from 97.3 The Game in Wisconsin up in Milwaukee will give us a little preview from the Milwaukee side of things. We'll check in with Charlie Marlowe from Fox 2 next hour, talk a little ball and a little bit of hockey with him as well. And then a few minutes from now, we're going to get into the Blues. Blues are playing later on tonight, 9 o'clock tonight, against the LA Kings. They clinched a playoff spot. It's all but set. They'll be facing, barring something odd, they're going to be facing Vegas. That could change. Vegas plays Colorado tonight. So, you know, if Colorado gets the win, there's still a chance that they could end up winning the West and potentially even having the President's Trophy. But if Vegas wins tonight, they lock up the number one spot in the West. And then, of course, I don't know if they lock up the President's Trophy or not, but they would lock up at the very least a tie. Carolina has 80 points in 55 games. And they have one more game left, obviously, so they could get to 82. I'm not sure how the tiebreaker would work there, but it doesn't really matter. Most likely, it's going to be the Blues and the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round of the playoffs. So we got the build-up to that. We're going to catch up with Hall of Famer Bernie Federko here in a few minutes, talk about what's turned better for the Blues here in recent weeks, and, of course, you know, how much that can translate into the postseason and what needs to continue, what still needs to improve. We'll just kind of get a breakdown from Bernie Federko here in a few minutes. So we're going to be all over the place tonight. As I mentioned, plenty of baseball. You know, the Cardinals coming off of a great stretch. I don't think anybody's deluding themselves about, you know, beating the Rockies. We know the Rockies are going to struggle this year. You know, beating the Pirates was actually, you know, it's in the end, at the end of the year, that's not going to look like much of a series, but the Pirates actually came into that series playing pretty well. But the thing is, against those teams that are at the bottom of the standings, you got to go win series. And they did. I mean, they took three straight games. In fact, you know, you look at the teams that have been struggling lately that the Cardinals have faced, they swept the Reds, you swept the Pirates, and you swept the Rockies. I mean, that's called taking care of business. And, you know, you split against Philly, which, again, when you look at Philly in the standings, you know, they're nothing special, but the Phillies are a solid team, and the Mets are a solid team. You split with them. There's absolutely nothing wrong with splitting series with good, solid teams. I mean, the Phillies are in second place in the East. The Mets are in first place in the East. We know that the Mets were the preseason favorite to win the division, and they're finally starting to get hot. But the point is, you did your job, and more than did your job. I mean, you played 17 games in 17 days and won 13 of them, and you now have the best record in the National League. And the only team in Major League Baseball with a better record than the Cardinals is the Boston Red Sox. Doesn't mean that they're going to finish as the best team in the National League. I mean, I still think, you know, you look at the Dodgers and how much they've struggled. I think they've lost five straight series. They've lost eight of their last 10 games. They still have the best team. They got a lot of guys on the injured list. I mean, they're not whole. They've lost Dustin May for the year. I mean, Bellinger's been out for a long time. I mean, they're missing critical, significant players. The Dodgers are still the most talented team in the National League. So, believe me when I say I'm not printing World Series tickets. I'm not starting to cut up paper so we can use it as confetti in the World Series parade. Just pointing out that things are good, and they've been good for a long while now. And it's not a coincidence that the Cardinals' surge in the standings coincides directly with the starting rotation turning things around. And not only turning it around, but like going even well beyond what could be expected. I mean, Jack Flaherty has basically been untouchable in his recent starts. Adam Wainwright had one the other day that wasn't so great, but then yesterday he bounces back with 8 1/3 shutout innings. You're getting good starting pitching. Even with Jordan Hicks out, the bullpen's doing the job. And I keep telling you guys, Ryan Helsley keeps going in the right direction. He finished the game off yesterday. You know, he had the rough start early, but last 11 games or so, he's been really, really good. And the offense is getting better. I mean, we'll talk more about this later in the show. And I touched on it with Tom Ackerman this morning during our Cards conference. But if you take a look at team offense in the National League, Cardinals are 5th in the National League in batting average. They are 6th in the National League in OPS. They are tied for 3rd in the National League in home runs. And in runs scored, they're 3rd. Now, do they need to be more consistent offensively? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I don't think anybody is going to dispute that, but it has been more consistent lately than it was for a while. It's still not you're never going to be exact, right? I mean, you're never going to be 6 runs every game all season long. You're going to have the ups and downs, but I mean, we're 5 weeks into the season. It's not like it's totally significant, and there's plenty of time for it to change, good or bad. But at the moment, you're seeing what happens when the offense is solid, and it has been, and the starting pitching is what it's expected to be. They're going to win a bunch of games. Now it's going to get tougher. You got Milwaukee and San Diego this week. That's not going to be easy. You get your first shot against the Cubs coming up next week. So, yeah, they're going to be some tougher games and tougher stretches coming. There's no doubt about that. But good play is good play, and that's where they are right now. That's why they're in first place going into the series against Milwaukee. So it starts tomorrow night. So we'll have more on that later on. Next up, I want to talk some hockey. And I don't like talking hockey with anyone more than I like talking hockey with Bernie Federko. Very happy to have the Blues Hall of Famer next up here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hey, let's talk a little hockey. Blues getting after it tonight. They'll be going at it at 9 o'clock tonight against the Kings. Then you got a couple more games before the end of the regular season. Then we're into the playoffs, and, of course, the Blues clinch the playoffs. And happy to be talking a bit about what's going on with a note with Hall of Famer Bernie Federko. First of all, Bernie, thank you for doing this. Always appreciate it. It's good to get the playoff spot clinched. We know it's not been an easy year for the Blues with injuries and obviously all the changes this season, but they got that part of the job done.
Yeah, it is. It's been a trying year, I think, not only, Kevin, with the fact that they had the injuries, but I think COVID really has changed so many things about the way we've watched hockey this year. I mean, no fans at all. Hard to get motivated, I'm sure, for the players to just get themselves up to be able to play a game because there's no one you're playing in front of them. And I think everybody always feeds off the energy that you get from, having fans in the stands. Mm-hmm. But I think that they really accomplished an awful lot with especially the key injuries. I mean, there was key players that were out so many different times all together. And when you have that kind of injury problem, you've got to have your depth to kind of step in and see what you can do. And really, for the most part, the Blues depth has done a really, really good job with it. I mean, I think that, they would like to have challenged and we thought they would challenge for, first, second, or third at the very worst, with Vegas and Colorado.
Right.
But the way things turned out, I mean, they were challenging with Los Angeles and Arizona to try to just get that fourth and final playoff spot. But they succeeded in doing that. I think they put together a real good run right now over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I think that they really should be commended to be able to put things together at the right time to get themselves into a playoff position.
And boy, didn't the power play come along at the right time? I know early in the year, and it gradually got better. I know when you're missing some of these key guys, it's hard to establish rhythm, and it's hard to, you know, have the five guys out there that you want to on the key power play, on the number one power play unit. But now they've moved into the top 10 in the league in the power play percentage. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I know that's not all by itself, a change in direction, Bernie, but it doesn't hurt to be able to take really good advantage of that advantage as they have late in the year compared to where it was earlier in the season.
Well, and that's why they're winning games. I mean, at the beginning of the year, if your special teams aren't working, I mean, you're struggling to score goals and you're not going to win many games. And they didn't do that because to be honest, the power play was horrendous, and it shouldn't be horrendous when you consider that the talent that they have on the ice, but it sometimes takes some time to get a chemistry going.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Montgomery came in, and he was the new power play coach. And I think he was trying probably a few different things. Of course, the changes in, you know, Petrangelo anymore. I mean, he was really kind of the quarterback on the power play. Now you see Tory Krug come in and he had to try to adjust and try to change things. So I know Vladdy Tarasenko, another thing at the beginning of the year that didn't have that. So they were trying all kinds of different things. And over the course of the last few weeks, they were able to put it together. I think practice makes perfect. I think that getting Mike Hoppin comfortable, especially on that right side, made a big difference because he's really kind of been the key to the power play. I think with that being said, once they got it going, I think they got a little bit of confidence, and then everybody understood what their jobs were, who was supposed to go to the net front, who was supposed to set up in a certain spot. And I think they were able to get that done. And consequently, they've been able to score in power play. And I think that's probably one of the key reasons that they actually have a playoff spot right now.
So from a player's perspective, I mean, I don't know, Bernie, I could talk to anybody in town or anywhere else that would know more about handling the puck and moving things around and directing traffic on a power play more than you would. And from a player's perspective, how does that work? Is it much more about feel? Is it about confidence? Or is it just, I don't know, maybe simple as aggressiveness and knowing what your strengths are and kind of attacking towards that?
Well, I think it's more of a feel than anything else.
Yeah.
I really believe that everybody's skilled enough to know what they're supposed to do. And you have certain plays out there, but you can't just drop a play up on the board and expect that it's going to work because you're going to be defended against. So you have to adjust on the fly. And I think that's the biggest thing that the Blues, I don't think we're adjusting on the fly well enough. When someone defends you differently, you've got to adjust and make your power play a little different. And they weren't able to do that. But I think that over the course of the last little while, they've been able to do that. They've been adjusting to certain plays. And I think they're, now they have the set play with Hoppin, who seems to get open all the time, but they've been able to work the puck down deep and then get to whoever was in the slot. You know, O'Reilly has scored some goals right in the middle of the slot. Perron's been able to score some goals off the left wing as a right-hand shot. So, it's a matter of feel. And once you get the feel, then you get the confidence. And when you get confidence, you can hardly wait to get a power play because you know that you're going to get out there and you think that you're going to score a goal. And I think that's the way this team has gone. And they didn't score the other night in Vegas, but they really only had one chance to do it. So, it's, when you're only getting one chance a game, it's really hard, especially if you don't get set up or win the faceoff in the zone right off the bat. It's a lot harder to get into the zone than it is to work around when you're in the zone. And I think that's kind of their key right now, is that they've been able to win the faceoffs in the offensive zone, and they've been able to do the damage because of that.
Bernie, it's been interesting to watch here in recent games, Hoffman combined with Thomas and Kyrou. It's such a interesting and dynamic group when they're together. I mean, I know we're talking power player, and this is not necessarily power play. This is 5-on-5, but man, there is a lot of skill and a lot of speed with those three together.
And, I think that really bodes well for the future too, Kevin, because, I mean, Kyrou and Thomas are young kids, 23 and 21 mm-hmm. years old. So, is Hoffman going to be back next year? Who knows that? But Hoppin has really found his way now. And I think it was a tough adjustment. I think we saw that with even Falk last year coming in from Carolina after the Blues won the cup. Mm-hmm. Everybody said, what's Falk all about? Well, I think we're seeing this year now when he's getting the opportunity to play how good a defenseman he is. We never really did see that last year. And I think right now Hoppin has found his way and he's adjusted. He's got some confidence. He's scoring goals. He's shooting the puck and he's very fleet footed too. Handles the puck very well. And I think he's a perfect fit for both Kyrou and for Thomas. I mean, they're not going to be a physical group by any means, but I think that they have the ability to score off the rush, and that's something that the Blues really need to do more of, because I think that's the new league. The new NHL is kind of McDavid and Nathan McKinnon. You score off the fly. You get your speed through the neutral zone. You make your plays coming over the blue line, and you score goals off the rush. And that line can really, really do that. The Blues' other lines are more grinding lines. I mean, I think we see a little bit of, the rush off of O'Reilly and Perron every once in a while. But for the most part, it's really the cycle and the grinding down and the turnovers. And that's how you score goals. But that Hoffman and Kyrou and Thomas line is absolutely fantastic with it because of the speed that they have. And the maneuverability. I mean, they all can spin on a dime once they're in the zone, and they're a lot of fun to watch. And I think that could be really key for the Blues. If they can get that going in the playoffs, I think they can be a really big key for success in the playoffs.
Now, you raised a great comparison there, Bernie, with Hoffman this year to Justin Faulk coming in last year. And this is a team that has a really distinct identity. I mean, like they won the cup a certain way. When they're playing well, it tends to go that certain way. And I know that there's always the adjustment. We talked on the power play about, the timing and the rhythm and being in this kind of in the same page on the same page as the people that are out there. I mean, it's got to feel that same way and kind of feel difficult sometimes to immediately fit in, both in terms of personality, but also in terms of where you fit on that roster and how they go about things.
Yeah, and I think that's been the difficult adjustment. And when you add the injuries in this year, I think that really this team has maybe not even found their identity yet. I think they're starting to find the identity. But, I mean, this is not the same team that the Blues won the Cup with 2 years ago. I mean, the dynamics is totally different, especially on the defense. I mean, first of all, you take, Bo Meester and Petrangelo into the mix. I mean, that's the two guys that played the most. And then all of a sudden, Noel Edmondson. Parayko was not healthy for most of this year. He's back and healthy now. And I think he makes a good pairing right now with Scandella. We're seeing, Faulk and Krug play together, which has been good. Wallman's been a surprise. Bortuzzo's there. Dunn's been in and out of the lineup. He's hurt now. So I think the dynamics of the defense has been totally different. But I think even with the forwards, I mean, there's not four lines that can grind it out like they did 2 years ago. So now we just mentioned, Thomas's line is more off the rush. So really the team has got to change the way they play a little bit and they've got to do it on a consistent basis. I mean, when we saw 2 years ago, all four lines would keep grinding, and that would wear down the defense. And one of the lines would finally score. Well, now you don't have four lines grinding. So you're going to have to score goals different ways. And I think that's what they're trying to find. And hopefully they can find it now when they get into a best of seven series in the playoffs.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing how it plays out. And there are only three games left, Bernie, and, they've clinched their position. They're going to be the fourth team. There could be some play with how the other teams shake out, but Vegas is really in a good spot. So it looks like Vegas in the first round, but we don't need to get into that matchup just yet. We got a little more regular season to get through. What are you looking for, Bernie, in the final three games? Is it just, get some more reps and try to build a little bit more chemistry? Is it just don't get anybody else hurt? Like what are the things we should be looking for in these last three games?
I think both those things that you said, Kevin, are exactly it. I mean, you don't want to get into bad habits. And I think that's the one thing is that if you don't play hard, that chances are you're going to get hurt because you've got to go in with full concentration. Like you're going to try to beat the other guy. I mean, especially when you're playing against a team like LA tonight, those kids are all fighting for their jobs. They want to play for the LA Kings. They want to play in the National Hockey League. So they're going to be going 100% tonight. And if you don't go 100% against them, the chances are you might get hurt trying to do something stupid by not trying to keep up or whatever it is. So I think, no bad habits. I think that they have to really get into the forechecking mode more than anything else, because I think that's going to be the key to their success. Start getting their game plan into play, because whether the Blues play Vegas or Colorado, they're still both really, really good teams. And the way you beat those teams, both those teams, is you got to forecheck their defense. So I think that even the course of the three games now, the Blues have got to get into a system where they're going to try to forecheck and just try it out. If you make some mistakes, big deal. It's not going to matter because all three games don't really matter. You don't have to win them as long as you find yourselves getting into a groove where you think that you're going to be able to compete in the playoffs. But I think that, it's a shame that they have to play these three games now. I mean, the season was supposed to be over on Saturday, but now, it's almost like people are playing for draft picks now, which is really difficult to do. Although, you know, Minnesota and Colorado still have something to play for. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think the big game tonight is the Vegas and Colorado game, because if Vegas wins tonight in regulation, they not only clinch the West, but they clinch the President's Trophy. So I'm sure that there's a lot to play with for them tonight, and it's going to be really interesting, that game.
Bernie, last thing I have for you, and you mentioned this earlier, and I only bring it up because as a hockey fan and a lifelong one, watching what Connor McDavid has done this year is just stunning to me. I mean, I know that 100-point seasons were definitely your neighborhood as on a regular basis during your playing career. And of course, that led to being in the Hall of Fame. And we know Connor McDavid's an elite talent, but 100 points in 53 games. I mean, we're getting back into like Lemieux, Gretzky territory with this kind of stuff. That's amazing in the modern game.
Yeah, it really is. Especially when you see that the second place guy has got 79 points. And he's 21 points ahead of Dreisaitl. I mean, that's his teammate too, which is really, really incredible. But and then the next guy's what, got 69 points? I mean, he's 31 like that, or whatever, yeah. 33 points ahead of the person in third in the scoring. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, he is an incredible talent. And I think watching him this year, I think that he seems to be much more geared to scoring goals and handling the puck. I mean, he's got 32 goals. I mean, I think we've all known him more as a guy that's going to get through the zone and he's going to make some great passes, this and that. But I think he's really got his really entire game dialed in this year. So, you know, what more can you say about him? I mean, last year he finished second in the scoring to his teammate Dreisaitl. So I think maybe he didn't like that. And this year he just has gone totally out. I mean, he needed 4 points the other night to get to 100. He got all four in the same game. So, when you look at him though, the way he skates, the way he's got speed, the way he just handles himself. I mean, I like Nathan MacKinnon too in Colorado. I think they're the two best players in the league. And then you add, Matthews in Toronto. I mean, there's some really great talent in the league, but I mean, I think there's no question that right now Connor McDavid is by far the best player in the league.
I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling, and he's only 24.
I know.
We've seen all of this. Like, he almost had 100 points last year with what I think it was 18 games less than we normally would. We only played 64 games last year and he had 97 points. He has three 100 point seasons before that. I love it because as a sports fan, Bernie, I mean, you know, one of the things that makes it fun is watching great players and watching great individuals. Great teams are probably a little more fun to me, but great individuals certainly are a big part of that. And it's just stunning. And especially in a year that's so weird, to have somebody do that has been it's just been mind numbing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you know, it's like you see Gretzky, I mean, get 200 and some points in a year, a couple of years. I mean, which is never going to be happening. I mean, that's, if you put it in perspective, I mean, Wayne did 200 and what, 15 points or whatever it is in just 80 games, where, I mean, yeah, this is only going to be a 56 game season, but 56 to get 100, that would take 112, you know? So it's just incredible what Wayne did that no one else will be able to do. And then you add what Mario did as well. But I mean, the game has changed. The game is different now than it was in those days, but I mean, you're never going to take away anything or any record what Wayne did, but you certainly got to commend, Connor McDavid to be able to put together a year that he did this year. I mean, and even look with Matthews in Toronto scoring 40 goals in what, 53 or 54 games. Now, that's really incredible. I mean, Hulley did 50 in 50 games. I mean, there's not very many to be able to do that, but it's really crazy to see the elite talent that some of these guys have.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not flashing back to the early 80s. And as Wayne averaged like 207 or 8 points a year for like 6 years. Like,
Kevin, when you look at, Wayne has more assists than the second place player has points.
I know.
I mean, that just shows what he, I mean, he's still, I mean, it's really hard to fathom what he did in our game. I mean, it's just, it's mind boggling, especially when you see, you know, we see Wayne in town all the time now. And he's not a big guy. You know, it's not like that he was this guy that was 6'6" and 240 pounds that could overpower people. He was just so much smarter than everybody else. And he just was so much more talented. And he was, you know, like we always say, he looked like he was on the ice, but he was up in the stands or up in the press box watching the game from there and deciding his moves from up there, because it's easy to see from up there. But it's really incredible. But it's, you know, I think it's going to be a really, really great playoff. I'm glad that for the most part that they're out of the bubble, and I hope that, you know, the Canadian a winner is able to get back and forth across the border to so they could actually play in front of fans and this and that. But who knows what's going to happen? But I think this is going to be a really, really great playoff this year compared to last year because they're out of the bubble. But with all the teams and all the the trades at the trade deadline, there's a lot of teams that really have really secured great teams, and I think we're going to have one heck of a playoff this year.
Looking forward to it. Bernie, thank you so much. I love our talks. I appreciate it whenever you have the time for us. We're looking forward to the game tonight in LA and, of course, the next couple Wednesday and Thursday over at Enterprise Center against the Minnesota Wild to wrap up the regular season. Again, thank you. Love talking hockey with you. You enjoy this run, and we'll hopefully look forward to a good playoff run here starting in about a week or two.
Thanks, Kevin. Always a pleasure.
Love talking hockey with Bernie Federko. In fact, I'm going to extend the conversation for just a minute. Not with Bernie, of course, but separate from that, just a little bit more on what we were just talking about with Connor McDavid, because while we were talking, I had a chance to look some stuff up, and the numbers are just dumb. We'll look at that, and then we'll get ready for some baseball talk coming up here on KMOX. All right, I just wanted to follow up on the end of that conversation with Bernie Federko on Connor McDavid and just the sheer insanity of what we've seen from him in 100 points in 53 games. So that would put him on pace for 155 points over an 82-game schedule. So that would be tied for the 14th best season in NHL history, but it's a lot more complicated than that, right? He would be tied with Steve Yzerman. Yzerman had 155 points in the 88-89 season, but here's the crazy thing. And I know that if you're a diehard hockey fan, you know these things, or at least you may instinctively believe them or think them. But if you look at it, it still blows your mind. That would tie Steve Yzerman for the most points ever by a person not named Gretzky or Lemieux. That's the crazy part. There are only two players in the history of the sport that have had 155 points or more in a season, or actually have had more than that, and it's just Lemieux and Gretzky. That's it. I mean, the last time anybody even had 155 points or more in a season was 25 years ago. It was the 95-96 season. I mean, it's just craziness what Connor McDavid did this year. And I don't know, how much it had to do with what was, with the schedule or playing out in the Canadian thing. I don't know. All I know is that 100 points in 53 games is just nonsense. And when you compare that to the history of the sport, and you can only name two players in a sports history that have ever had more points. And now, he didn't get that, so I'm not saying he's achieved it. It's just the level of performance in an era, by the way, where it's way harder to score goals. It's not a coincidence that if you look at all of the best point seasons and you look at all of the best goals seasons in the history of the league, they're all in the 80s. Well, they're all before the 90s, let's put it that way. They're all basically in the 70s and 80s. And once you get to the 90s, you get all the, you got the neutral zone lock, left wing lock, and you got the physical clutch and grab and hold, the New Jersey Devils era, if you will. And, I think it's pretty ridiculous what McDavid's done. I just wanted to follow up on that very quickly. All right, coming up next, we're going to get you ready for some baseball talk. We got plenty of baseball next hour. We'll talk more about the Cardinals stretch of 17 games in 17 days, turning out really well. We'll get the Milwaukee side of this upcoming series with my friend Doug Russell coming up at 7:30. Some more baseball coming your way in a few here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Awesome to be with you. Welcome back to the baseball portion of the show. Great to talk a little hockey, though. We haven't had a chance to do that so much with so many games, so many baseball games, and the strike zone shows just, feel like you're missing some things, even though, we're watching the games, and, heck of half the time I've got baseball and hockey going at the same time at the station, and can keep an eye on both of them because the TVs are literally right next to each other, but not the same as getting to talk, and I was happy we could get a little Blues talk into the show today. All right, so we're moving ahead, looking at some Cardinals conversation in the next hour. We'll talk a little ball with Charlie Marlowe from Fox 2. I'm going to catch up with my friend Doug Russell from 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee, see what's going on from the Brewers' side of things. You know, the Brewers are, I mean, if you look at the standings, the Cardinals and Brewers are pretty much where everybody thought they'd be, right? I mean, every baseball analyst that we had on during the offseason said they think that these would be the two teams that will battle it out for the division. And while it's not like they've pulled away from the crowd. I mean, the Cubs are only 3.5 behind the Cardinals and 1.5 behind the Brewers, for example. The Reds are only 4 out and 2 behind the Brewers. I mean, it's relatively close, but it's also relatively early. The standings look kind of the way you would expect. But Milwaukee has significant offensive problems right now. I mean, you know, we talk a lot about the Cardinals and their needs offensively. And by the way, justifiably so. You know, I mean, you're just now starting to get a little more production from the outfield. Tyler O'Neill, since coming off the injured list, has been pretty good. You hope that he can maintain that. Harrison Bader's been pretty good since he's come back this year with the .887 OPS and 3 home runs. So, you know, you've gotten the outfield production from those two guys that you were hoping to get. I mean, if you finish the year with those guys around where they are now, and Bader's probably not going to be an .887, and hopefully Tyler O'Neill can be better than a .742 OPS. But the point is that, you know, you're getting offense from those two spots at the moment. Then you throw in resurgent offensive season. I mean, he's hitting .329 with power. I mean, he's slugging .630 this year with 7 doubles and 5 home runs in 21 games. So despite the fact that he just missed a couple of weeks, you know, his numbers are still fantastic. So we're seeing this team get some production from spots that they really needed it. And you're now starting to see Paul Goldschmidt wake up a little bit. If you look at him over the last 7 days, he's starting to get some payoff on those hard hit balls. On the last 7 days, he's hitting .296, slugging over .500 with a couple of home runs. Nolan Arenado in the last 7 days got an .1100 OPS with 2 doubles and 2 home runs. So, you know, we know what those guys are capable of. Dylan Carlson, Dylan Carlson's been stable. I mean, he's just been, you know, again, he's had hot and cold runs. I mean, you know, he's had, the past week, he's got like a .900 OPS. But when you look at it, you know, like in some weeks where he's struggling, all right, there's up and down. But overall, I mean, hitting .300, .850 OPS, all that just looking absolutely fantastic. You know, when you're talking about, yeah, sure, he strikes out a good bit, but he's also drawing his walks. He's got the .380 on base percentage. So as we look up and down, you're starting to get some of those things, and that's why you're getting consistent performance. And we'll talk a bit more about the starting pitching and its relationship to the bullpen here in just a little bit too. If you look at the rotation so far, mostly been as good as you could expect it to be, especially now that, you know, you've had, you know, an opportunity for Carlos Martinez to string together some good ones. Kwon-Young Kim has been very solid so far, too. I mean, he's not getting deep into games, and that's something that they're going to want to see change as we get deeper into the season. But, you know, he's got a .306 ERA, 18-4 strikeout-to-walk ratio, 17 innings, or just about 18 innings. He's getting there. So we'll get a little bit more into the 13-4 stretch for the Cardinals and what they need to do to maintain it. Coming up just after the top of the hour news here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!